Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 209. This is part two to Hunger and Thirst. Today is Sunday, August 28th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the most is Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. We're located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you haven't joined Pastor Paul's club and you need food, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 and older, or you are disabled with proof, you can come in Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. You'll need to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. We have lots of food, so if you need food anywhere in Minnesota, we have no boundaries. You come to Pastor Paul's Club. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. And I just want to give a special shout-out and a thank you to the Sean Feinstein Foundation, who has helped Pastor Paul's for a number of years, 10, 15, lots of years, help donate to Pastor Paul's with his Feinstein match that occurs every April. And he's helped hunger partners throughout the U.S. for many years. A special thank you to you. We appreciate your support, who supported us before it became popular to support hunger issues. Thank you, Sean Feinstein Foundation in Rhode Island. Another special thank you to all you youth groups with YouthWorks who have come in this summer, who me and Pastor Paul have been able to work with. It's been great. What an encouragement you have been to Pastor Paul's Club. The work you've done is fantastic, and we're definitely going to be connecting on Facebook and at Pastor Paul's website. So we'll look for your pictures. I've got more than 300-400 pictures of you guys. And we'll see you on Flickr. Now, for Pastor Paul's podcast, this is the month of August, the hot month. Are we ready? Yes. Here are the messages. Peace, these eyes, harvest time, hunger and thirst. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Don't miss an episode. God bless you and have a great month of August.
You ever been so hungry? I remember I was into a 22-day fast. And then about the 8th day or 9th day, I became so hungry. Ah, everything looked good to me. Everything. Oh, I was hungry. And oh, I was thirsty. And oh, God. See, we feed people down here, and they come to our doors hungering and thirsting. You see people out on the streets, and they're hungering and thirsting. You see people in Africa, and you see people in Russia, and you see people all over the world right now hungering and thirsting. How can you turn them down when they're so persistent? How can you turn them down when the little ones come to the door? Hunger and thirst, and they're both used together, like an earnest desire after righteousness. Blessed is such a man. When this man that you meet, and he comes, let's say, Jim, onto the hobo bus, and he's hungry and he's thirsty, and he just gets off the tracks. And you have some of our world-famous soup down there. World-famous. Yeah, you heard me. World-famous. And they get in there, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty. And do you ever notice, Jim, how they say, give me a glass of water, and they have like four or five glasses of water? And then they have a bowl of soup, and then they have another bowl of soup, and another bowl of soup, and another bowl of soup? How do you think they feel when they get off of that bus? Filled. Filled. Isn't that a good feeling to be filled? Oh, boy, that feels good. When you're hungry and you're thirsty, and God uses those terms. That's how we're to hunger and thirst after Him. And He says, if you'll do that, you will be filled. Are you feeling kind of empty? Well, you're hungry and thirsting after the wrong things. Mud pies. Anything other than Jesus Christ is a mud pie. Yeah. Probably you look like what you look like, you listening on the radio right now, because you've been eating a whole lot of mud pies. Well, even the world says that. Here's mud in your eye. Blessed, I said, is such a man that hungers and thirsts, for he shall be filled. But see, a man in the natural hungering and thirsting must be satisfied, must be fed. See, hunger and thirst cannot be repressed. I gotta have something to eat. Give me something to eat. I want to eat. And it's the same way with those seeking righteousness. Nothing can deter them. It's a gnawing pain. It's a gnawing desire. Now, I'm not talking about seeking after your own righteousness and growing in righteousness. There's not such a thing. Now, please, please. You legalists, listen on. You always get it wrong, and you're getting it wrong now. Oh, yes, I'm becoming more righteous every day. No, 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 no. I'm talking about seeking after Jesus, and He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the bread of life, and when you eat of Him, you shall be filled and you shall be blessed. Isn't it the same though with people seeking after righteousness? Isn't it a gnawing pain and a desire? Do you ever go to the icebox and you don't know what you're hungry for? It's the same way spiritually speaking. You get a sort of a hunger, but you don't know what you're hungry for. Oh, let's see. I think I'll have a little of this TV show. Well, that doesn't do it. Well, let's see. I think I'll get me a new car, and that doesn't do it. Well, let's see. If I only had a girl, and that doesn't do it. If I only had a guy, and that doesn't do it. And you don't know what you're hungry for, spiritually speaking. Huh. you got someone that's pulling you away from what you're looking for. Come away from that icebox and come sit with me. Me. Huh? But through 3 or 4 minutes later, you're back in the icebox again. The draw, it's too great. Huh? Isn't it hell when someone wants to take you? There's a lot of folks that keep people from going to the spiritual refrigerator or the spiritual stove. Huh? They don't want them to get too involved. Come with me. Huh? Come fly with me, huh? Don't let it happen to you. If you're hungry for Jesus, go for Jesus. And you, the Bible says, shall be filled. See, nothing can satisfy that desire. Nothing. Picnics? Huh? Marshmallows under an open fire, huh? No, nothing. Nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, with this natural man, until you feed that man, Jim, his wants will continue to devour him. Now, you can play the best music for a hungry man, and he's not impressed. Oh, you could play the piano and just play it. Oh, man, play it. I mean, you could make the keys just walk up and down. He's not impressed by that. Or maybe you could play the best guitar. He's not impressed by that. He's hungry, Jack. Or the flute. Or maybe you'll sing to him. No, it'll not satisfy his craving. It'll only irritate him. Huh? You see a lot of folks out there in the world and they're irritated. Huh? And nothing can satisfy them. The things they used to love, now they hate. And the things they used to hate, now they love. Huh? It only irritates them. They're hungering and thirsting after Jesus. Oh, I know what's wrong with you. You need a vacation. You need to get away from it all. And they go someplace and get good and miserable. And by the way, a lot of Christians do that too. I mean, they go on prolonged vacations, month, 2 months. Huh? Take a vacation from God. Hey, well, let's, in summertime people do that. They don't come to church. They take a vacation. They go up to the lake and lay up there. Like beached whales. I'm only hearing this. It's the truth, isn't it? Oh, the truth hurts. Oh, God, it hurts. Oh, don't minister. You know, people do not want to hear the truth. Isn't that funny? If the Bible says, and the truth will set you free. Oh, he shrinks. Are you some shrinks listening? I know there is. I can feel it. There's shrinks listening right now. Tell the people the truth. They'll set them free. They won't have to pay you anymore. $45 per half hour. See? It's going for it. Even when you're down and even when you're out. You go for it, and as you're going for it, you're blessed in the going for it. Not that you even attain. Not that you even get a hold of it, but you're going for it. Huh? And you keep going for it, and you're blessed in the going for it. The minute you stop going for it, that's when you get down and walk back into the wilderness and walk around out there and look like one of them great big old southern hound dog sniffers I was talking about. How many are hearing this? No, this guy is not satisfied. Well, here's some gold. No, he wants something to eat. Well, now, behind this curtain, we have a house for you. And this curtain, there's a new car. I want something to eat, man. I want some of the famous, world-famous bean soup. Huh? What is his heart after? Bread and water. Jesus says, blessed are they who regard righteousness, and that's Jesus, and are always seeking after it, and that's Jesus. And they can't be satisfied, it says in the original, until they find it. See, the desire is towards righteousness, which a man must have in order to be blessed. You cannot be blessed outside of Jesus Christ, you that are not born again. And you that are born again and are outside of Jesus Christ, you can't be blessed. You can't make a Christian happy when he's outside of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? They're miserable, oh man, they're so miserable. They're house coat miserable. What's house coat miserable? That's someone that sits around in a depressed state in their house coat, taking Valiums. They're taking some kind of a downer pill or wine coolers in a dirty old frayed housecoat, depressed, and they just sort of wander around scratching across the linoleum floor with bare feet, a dirty linoleum floor with bare feet. Why? You can't make them happy because you can't get them to seek ye first the kingdom of God and to cry out to the Lord. And so they want somebody to be miserable with them. I heard a song blaring out of one of these jukeboxes, and it said, put on your red shoes, mama, it said. And I made up my own version. Put on your work shoes, mama. Grab that skillet in your hand. You want to get blessed? Fix your man a meal. Huh? So many Christian gals, man. They're experts at these. Man, they can unwrap one of these TV specials faster than you. Hey, whap! Turn that, push that dial. Toot, 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 toot. And old microwaves. Dinner's in the micro, hon. They even cook coffee in the micro now. Warm it up. Last week's. I venture to say a lot of Christian gals, you could open up their freezers and you could find stacked in there every kind of frozen, ready-to-eat pizza, TV dinner that ever was for fast getaways to these spiritual seminars, spiritual cemeteries. Oh, don't you like that? Oh, that's too bad. But I know you won't bother me down here in the north side anyway. I have a natural protection around me here. Say amen, somebody. It's the truth, God. Ooh. But see, the desire is towards righteousness. And I said, we've got to have that to be blessed. Not a feeble, I wish I could be righteous. Not a sudden outburst of good desires. Or it's you, God, only you, until the phone rings. But it's a longing, which is like a hunger and like a thirst. And it stays with a man until it masters him. He takes it to work, his hunger and thirst. He takes it to lunch, his hunger and thirst. He takes it to supper, his hunger and thirst. He takes it to his friends' homes, his hunger and thirst. He takes it on vacation, his hunger and thirst. It sticks with him. And I believe God right now is making many a man hungry. They feel they have been wrong and their consciences have been aroused and the Spirit of God is convicting them. And they know they're wrong. You don't have to tell them. It's like I was witnessing to a guy years ago and this guy come charging up right in the middle of the prayer and said, "Did you tell him to repent?" Well, I didn't want to do it, but I did it. If looks could have killed, that guy would have been laying prone upon the ground. I didn't say anything, but looks, my looks were pretty bad. God. Oh, God. Ooh. See, people have been aroused, and they're all over out there right now. And they're starting to seek, and they're starting to get a hunger and a thirst, and they don't need nonsense. They need Jesus. They don't need nonsense. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They don't need one more lesson from your seminar. You know what I'm talking about? They're hungry, and they're thirsty, and they don't want to sit down and go through, why did John lay his head on Jesus' breast? Why did Peter scream until he was hoarse? No, they want Jesus. Do you know why the rooster, and they go on, and they'll go through a whole sermon, and this guy is hungry, and he wants Jesus. Why do you suppose that the rooster crowed? And this guy's hungry for Jesus, see? And he looks at you like you're some kind of a nut. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking for something. I don't know what it is, but it certainly isn't you. I mean, you know. Huh? They're going to leave you standing right there. How many know what I'm talking about? I went out witnessing with a guy, and he started out in Genesis. Huh? He went through the whole Bible. The whole Bible. The guy was laying down, he was sleeping. He was still talking. The guy was in a sleeping bag, sleeping. He was still talking to him. Hungering and thirsting after Jesus. He was all interested, and then the guy went through all this. He wanted to show how knowledgeable he was. And so he had to show him every teaching that he had received. Oh, don't we just love to show our smarts and our intelligence? Well, you're still back there with John? Why did he put his head back? Because he loved Jesus. That's all. Period. But they go on with a great, large, long story. Don't you understand? Or a whole lot of ritual. And the person is hungering and thirsting after Jesus. And the reason a lot of us are frumped out, and you listening on the radio are frumped out, is because you haven't sought after Jesus. The same as a person that's coming to know Jesus. And so you're off, you're like a horse. You're off your feet. You get off your feet? You ever get off your feet? Well, then you're miserable, aren't you? And your feet is doing the will of God. Now, this person cannot be content until he is himself like Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the mirror of righteousness and peace. But listen, even if a person would be able to attain this, then the godly man would hunger and thirst to see others come into righteousness. Even if you could attain becoming exactly like Jesus, then you would hunger and thirst to get others to be like that. How many are hearing this message tonight? Oh, God. Ooh. But also notice these concentrated appetites are very discriminating. The man doesn't long after 28 things, but only one thing, after righteousness. He doesn't hunger for wealth. He doesn't hunger for position. He would rather be poor and righteous than rich and evil. He doesn't hunger after health. He would rather be sick and righteous, although it would be great to be blessed with health. He doesn't even line up the rewards for being righteous as the object. Yes, these are very desirable. Each one of them, the respect of man, well, that's desirable. Communion with God. But see, these are added on by the seeking of Jesus Christ, by the seeking of righteousness. See, there's a whole lot of people that are taught to seek heaven but never seek after righteousness, and so they can't be blessed. And until we teach people to seek after Jesus Christ, they're never going to be blessed. And even people that are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, until we teach them that, hey, you ain't going to be a blessing, you're not going to be, you won't be a blessing. If you don't seek ye first righteousness yourself, then you can't give anybody anything good yourself. You haven't got anything. How many are hearing this today? Ooh, now you can't be a sluggard and hunger and thirst after righteousness. You got to become intense. I was looking at this program. It was in Africa. Now, a lot of people I'm hearing are very bored with them showing these starving Africans over there. Okay. But I started looking at this child that was on the TV and a man that was on there. And I thought, when a starving man pleads with sunken eyes and a skeleton of a body, doesn't his whole body become a prayer for help? Do you have to ask him a million questions before you feed him, I was thinking? Or are you able to feel sorry only when you can see him and then shed a tear or two and walk away and forget what you saw? No, you can't forget what you saw. It sticks with you. It haunts you. I believe that a man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness and pleads with God with his whole soul, and there's no phoniness in his prayer because he's seeking with his whole heart and his whole mind and his whole soul, is going to receive it. And so what have I proved here tonight? You've got to have an intense desire. And an intense desire only comes by seeking. 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 Going for it. The blessing is in, let me say it this again. The blessing comes from going towards the blessing. Jesus. And even when you don't feel like going towards Jesus, if you hunger and thirst after him, see, you get a little bit of Jesus and you're going to hunger and thirst after more. You do a little bit of witnessing. You do a little bit of volunteering. Isn't that right? Now, you do a lot of volunteering. You do a little bit of volunteering, and you want to volunteer all the more. But when you stop, and you're not involved, and it becomes a drag, and it becomes a bore, and it becomes a job, you lose your blessing. And there's a lot of Christians right now that have given over their blessing, and that's seeking Jesus. Well, how many are hearing this? God, I know you're hearing it because it's quiet as a tomb in here. Say, you on the radio, I know you're hearing it because you're so quiet. There's no static on the radio at all. How many are hearing this? See, a man that is hungry and thirsty will never say, I would like a meal, but I can do very well without it. And all of you who are hungry and thirsty, and thirsting after righteousness, you want it right now. You want it immediately, if not sooner, right? Whew. Oh, and they can find so much wrong with the meal, so much wrong with the pastor, so much wrong with the church, so much wrong with everything. It's like a person sits down and he notices the fork is on the wrong side. And the napkin is folded the wrong way. And the meat is too well done. And the potatoes are a little bit lumpy. Oh no, the peas bumped into my steak. I can't have it. No, the hungry of our day wouldn't make such stupid, asinine remarks. And we shouldn't get caught up in such trifles ourselves. You know what the problem is? There's too many idlers who could care less about souls. They've lost their burden for going out for souls. Like the Pharisees, they are only convicted unto anger and not unto righteousness. They are not hungry for the gospel. They're too fussy. They're too fussy. Hey, the fork is on the wrong side. My napkin's folded wrong. The meat is too well done. The potatoes are a little bit lumpy. And the peas rolled into my steak. I don't want it. They're too fussy. They're too fussy about the message, about the setting, about who eats with them. And who did you dine with? Oh, oh, we're dining over here or over there. We never dine down there in the slumsville of the North Side. Oh, no, heavens, no. We're dining over here with a select group. How many are hearing this? You know what? They're the most miserable people in the world. They're more concerned and they're fussy about who eats with them. Can you imagine taking everybody, the people down here from the North Side, just let's say we go downstairs, gather them up, put bibs on all of our people down there. Take 600 of them out with bibs on and a knife and a fork in each hand and have them come walking into one of these suburban churches. Well, they'd say, praise God. Well, this is real nice. They come, they're hungry. Oh, poor souls. And before the pastor was 14 seconds into the message, they'd be finding fault with these people. Well, pastor, no, I really think that, you know, people should stay where they belong. I mean, we came out here for a reason. I just don't believe in this busing of people. Imagine if you started busing people to churches. You think he had trouble with schools? How about church busing? How about a locomotive of people coming from the North Side? Are you hearing this? A whole trainload. Think they'd be received? Do you think that they would be received? No. They received him not. When they don't receive those people, Jesus came and they received him not. And when they don't receive those people, they receive not Jesus. They don't receive Jesus when they receive not these people. Oh, you're going to be awful surprised when you get to heaven and you see who's up there. Oh, God, what are they doing up here? The button is going to be pushed and you're going to go, whoop. You're going to look like the roadrunner. Huh? How many hearing this? Jesus came unto his own, and they received him not. I tell you, if you do this to one of the least of mine, you've done it to me. I'm down here fighting for our very life and for our very existence. Just to stay alive. Just to continue on. Are you hearing me on the radio? You keep your cards and letters coming down here and your help, or we're going to come out and visit you. All of us, all 600, 800, probably 2,000 of us. Are you hearing it? They received him not. They received him not. They want dessert only. They want plum puddings because they're plum crazy. They want chocolate cake. They want caviar. They want apple pie. They want to sit down with a prosperity spoon at a claiming table with a whole lot of freaks. Pass the pudding, please. What kind is it? Oh, I had that last week. I don't want any. See, these people aren't hungry. Chances are they ate too much of that self-righteous pie or prideful pudding or chocolate gripe cake. Or maybe some little critical tea cakes. Oh, and they're stuffed and they are miserable. But anyway, they are full. So full, they do not hunger and thirst. They're filled up with their self. And I thought, oh, this is sure a paradox. People who hunger and thirst yet are blessed. And I thought, well, hunger and thirst brings pain. It is a paradox, folks, but when we're hungering and thirsting, we're satisfied, and when we're hungering and thirsting, and when we're in pain, something's happening. Well, maybe you're saying on the radio right now, and I'm closing. Oh, I wish I were right. Oh, if I could only change, if I could only believe. I'd like to be saved, but I know I would fall. I wish my family would get saved. Well, whatever form your hunger and thirst takes, you're blessed. Because you're going for it, either for yourself or for somebody else. But a person called me on the phone, but my prayers are interrupted by perverse thoughts. How many have been praying and then they had just a scungy old thought come in right in the middle of the prayer? Never happened to you? Why, kill! I mean, you know, it's out of the clear blue sky. Fire fall, Lord! That kind of thing. And you thought, oh, like Paul, who will deliver me from this body of death? Listen, praise God, you are blessed. Because you're going through that pain, you're blessed. Your pain of hunger and thirst are a blessing. Look at this crowd over here of self-satisfied. What a curse. I got a word for you. No pain below, no rain above. And also those who hunger and thirst have a heart towards that which is good and which is desirable. He loved the world, now he hates it. See, God will give you the grace to even hate the world. Say amen, somebody. And you know why? I'm gonna close. There's about two more minutes here. I want you to hear this. I believe he's blessed because in the presence of his hunger, other hungers die out. They die right out. I believe that one master passion, like Aaron's rod, swallows up all the rest, like worldly comforts. Also, blessed men are delivered from delusions. Brothers and sisters will be sent a strong, it says in the end, a strong delusion. So go on out and preach the gospel unto all creation. Go on out and escape the snare, the Bible said, with spiritual hunger and thirst. That's what keeps you out of the snare. Because I believe spiritual hunger and thirst are wonderful teachers of the doctrines of grace and fast, let's say, dispellers of the illusions of pride. But also, this man is also blessed because he has already been worked on by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, a special satisfaction, they shall be filled. Filled with the righteousness of God, filled with the righteousness of Christ, filled with joy and peace and love. But anyway, someday, what we see dimly now, we will know. And heaven will be the fulfillment of our hunger and thirst, what we've been going for all that time. No more pain, it says, or sorrow or shame. No more tears, no more gossip or stupid pride. No more silly arguments. But in the meantime, will you please go on out there and hunger and thirst after righteousness daily? Maybe you're suffering right now from a whopper of a pain. Praise God for that pain. Praise God for that hunger. And praise God for that thirst that's bringing you that pain. If you'll seek right now Jesus Christ, righteousness, you will be satisfied. Outside of that, there is no satisfaction. Isn't there a song like that? I don't get no satisfaction. I don't get no satisfaction, huh? How many heard this message tonight? Hey, outside of the Lord. And you know what? I know this works. Because the many times in my ministry, there was nothing else I could do. I mean, I had sought every... You know, it's easy to get complacent. And cash is rolling in, and everybody, oh, praise the Lord for Pastor Paul. Oh, wow. But you don't always hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ when everything is going easy. There's got to be some gain, some kind of pain there to get some gain. Say amen, somebody. So I know from whence I speak. Something's got to get you hungry after Jesus Christ. Now, are you fed up with your... You know, you can get fed up with yourself. Just take a look in the mirror and you can get fed up with... Get fed up with... I am fed up with you, hound dog. Get fed up with yourself. Get good. And that's why it says in the end, many seducing spirits are going to be loose from the pit, and God is going to let everybody say, you want sin? Hey, here it is. Go for it. And people will get filled, fed up with it. How many know people are getting fed up with what's going on right now? I mean, there's so much garbage going on. People are getting fed up with it. And they're starting to turn around, and they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Jesus Christ. Well, where's this world coming through? Where is it going? It's going to hell. Mm-hmm. It's going to hell. You want to get your joy back? You're listening on a radio. Put your hands up now if you've lost your joy. Yeah? You want to get your joy back? Seek Jesus, and all of these things will be added unto you. Amen. And right now, I'm going after Jesus. And you know, sometimes I go kind of slow. Sometimes I'm on my knees. Sometimes I'm on my belly. But the blessing comes by going for it. I'm not blessed until I'm on my way and I'm in the way of doing it. Maybe sometimes you come down here, okay, Carolyn, and you're walking down here and you don't feel exactly like being down here. But once you get into it, and you feel, and you know, we were talking about today, I said, you know something? We have got to go for it in a bigger way. Go for it. Well, the Bible tells us that. Run the race to win. Right? Why do you go to work all week? For your paycheck. Huh? What if they told you, oh, no pay, but you had a lot of fun working, didn't you? Come on, admit it. Admit it. You love it down here. You should pay us. See, it's got to be something built on the inside of us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. But you, and you will be so miserable. Oh, there are so many miserable people that are just... Hey, you know, there's only one thing worse than a miserable person, and that's two. And then there's one thing worse than two miserable people, and that is a family of miserable people. And there's one thing worse than a family of miserable people, and that's getting all the relatives together that are miserable. And then there's one thing more miserable than the person, and then the couple, and then the kids, and then the family, and then the relatives, and that's a church full of families and relatives. Now you want to talk about misery? One in some of these churches, they are miserable. Hey, I'm having a field day today. Let me have my fun, okay? It's the truth, though. You go on there and everybody's miserable. Hi, how are you? Fine, I'm blessed. It's so phony and so superficial, I don't believe it. Huh? They get inside the car. You shut up! You don't talk to me like that. Oh, I don't, huh? Shut up! Oops, we forgot to roll our windows up. Everybody heard us. Admit it. Without Jesus, you're miserable. God, there's nothing else. There is no life outside of the Lord. He is the bread of life, the Bible says, and you got to go for him. You know that, you got your testimony and you came to Jesus and you're feeling great and all that? You know, don't lose that. See, I mean, you won't lose it, but you got to keep going for it. And if you do wander up, oh, am I feeling so lousy? Well, you're off your feet. Nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing. Nothing. Even your wife, it won't work. I mean, she's an added blessing probably, but I mean, it won't work. And vice versa is the same way. It won't work. You both, see, the center of this whole thing is, I'm just using it because you're sitting here. And we haven't got a whole lot of folks here, so I got to pick on you. But it's really the truth, isn't it? Huh? It is so true that the minute we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ, we just both get miserable. Huh? Misery, 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 misery. And then the kids are miserable, and the family's miserable, and the relatives are miserable, and the church is miserable, and everybody's miserable. And they're all fighting, and oh, okay, and I'm gonna leave, and I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. God. Lord, bless these people tonight. Thank you for the radio audience that's laying on the floor right now. Bless them out there, Lord. Cause them to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And cause them, Lord, to seek you with all their heart, mind, and soul, because you're the only peace and joy there is. Outside of you, there is no life. And outside of you, there is no way. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's going to sing tonight? Oh, Mick, are you going to sing? They're clapping back here, Mick. Okay, Don? Don, you going to sing? Come on, Don.
there you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 209. That was part two, Hunger and Thirst. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. And you're going to also find show notes. And then in those show notes, there are links to scriptures. Be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday, don't miss it. The message, the poor. I can't wait for that one. God bless you. Have a great week.
Get ready, you got to move.